Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
So shall we do some final thoughts? What do you
think? Final thoughts!
All
yes,
right.
Do you want to go first?
I will. Okay, so final thoughts for me. First of all, as always, what great inspirations these four books have been, particularly in this particular year of 2020, the crazy year of 2020. We've talked about things like the Black Lives Matter movement. We've talked about racial issues, political issues, domestic abuse and violence issues. Gender issues. Every issue we've talked about became different and new to me in terms of these books because of COVID-19 and the things that we saw playing out on our TV screens in the news and things like that with, you know, like I said, with like Black Lives Matter and things like that. And there's so much still to think about, to work through in these books. I feel like we've barely scratched the surface and we've gone so deep, but you know, there's just, to me, I feel like there's so much more. And there's so much more that I get excited about and want to create inspired new pieces of artwork in some way. And here we are at the end of the year. It's supposed to be over, right? I did want to share one thing with you that I've kind of kept a secret because I have mixed emotions about it. But largely because of what was going on in the summer with Black Lives Matter and, you know, the more we talked about Gone with the Wind and the racial history involved in it, in the movie, there was the whole thing on, I can't remember now if it was Cinemax or Showtime or whatever, where they pulled the movie and then they put it back with a disclaimer and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We talked about that in previous episodes. Well, I'm not a portrait artist by any means. I don't know how to do portraits. But sometime around that time period, I started a portrait. Inspired by our discussions, I started a portrait of Hattie McDaniel. And I'm still working on it. I'm not finished with it, again, because I'm not a portrait artist. Every time I pick up my paintbrush, I'm like, oh my God, what if I put this in the wrong spot? You know, I don't know. You know, it's just very hard for me. But I'm working on it. I'm making progress. And I'm hoping that someday I'll be able to share that with you and maybe with our audience. But that was kind of like the main creative thing that I was working on this year for our NICE project. And I should say that in years past, because we structured our workshops and everything so differently this year and our behind the scenes recordings this year, I didn't have as much time to just create artwork, you know, as I've had in the past when we've done a NICE project with other books. So this year my creative focus was so much of the time on you know, writing notes for our podcast episodes, for our behind the scenes discussions, that I feel like those were kind of my creative writing submissions, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so the portrait that I'm doing of Hattie McDaniel is really the only tangible piece of artwork that I've come up with. And I'm not done with it yet. Just, you know, 2020, gosh, you know, an unfinished portrait. How appropriate, right? To be at the end of the year and have an unfinished portrait looming over me. So, but I'm hoping I can get it done soon and that it will look enough like Hattie McDaniel that I won't embarrass myself as a painter.
No, I would love to see that when you're done, because I know that she is seemingly a contradiction because she played what people perceive now as a stereotype, mm-hmm. but I know from your research that you feel very strongly that no, she's trying to work against the stereotype.
Yes.
And I think that that's fascinating. I think that's a perfect choice of yours to
yeah.
to
I can't
re-
yeah, I can't remember her exact words, but I've read it many times in interviews that she did. And I can't remember her exact words, so Hattie McDaniel up in heaven, forgive me if I misquote you, but she basically would say that although she understood why certain Black Americans would be offended by her portrayal of Mammy, for example, and other characters she played in other movies, she always felt, and she believed that most of her contemporary Black actors that in the time period that she was working felt the same way, that they felt that by being on the screen at all in a movie theater gave, you know, that's okay, gave all Americans a visual that Black faces belonged on the screen just as much as white faces did. I'm paraphrasing, that's not exactly how she said it, but that was the gist of it. And I always thought that was the most remarkable, generous, healing kind of statement and belief and attitude from her. And I just honor her so much for, first of all, an incredible actress. She's just an amazing actress. And the way she was so classy and so wonderful in how she spoke about her career, that just really touched me deeply. And I feel like my childhood love of her as the character Mammy, her portrayal of that character, I felt, you know, as a child, I saw past the dialect into and saw what I read in the book was a nurturing mother carer figure that helped. She's really the glue in Scarlett's life. She holds her, because in the book, you know, she comes with Ellen, Scarlett's mother. She belongs to Ellen's family, and so she was Ellen's mammy. Okay, so it's a generational family interconnectivity that Mammy personifies. She was Ellen's mammy, Scarlett's mammy, Bonnie's mammy. I mean, you know, it's three generations, right? This is a family member. And yes, she was a slave. Yes, she was a freed slave. But there was something about that character that transcended that for me. And so as I got older and I would read these interviews and you know, see what she said in real life, my gosh, I just loved her more and more and more. And so trying to paint her portrait is like my way of honoring not just the actress, but the human woman that she was, as well as the characters that she played and her reason for playing them. And I hope I can finish it. I will share it with you, Sarah E., I promise. Whether or not I share it with the public, who knows? But I will do my best to not make a fool of myself as an artist and not dishonor Hattie McDaniel, because I truly, truly admire and love her so much, so much. So that's my final thoughts. Now, what are yours?
I think for me, we started one of our early podcasts about NICE was, why do we read problematic books?
Yes.
Should we?
Yeah.
And I think I went through, you know, the research mm-hmm. of what are other people saying about should we, mm-hmm. under what circumstances, under what context, do we need to provide support? Do we need to look at this from what is the classic interpretation of the book versus a marginalized group's interpretation of the book? Can those be harmful? And so I think I thought a lot about those in theory
mm-hmm.
early in the project.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of actually going through all these podcasts, you know, I think that forced me to actually experience some of that. You know, for example, I tend to be a little defensive of Jane Eyre. And to accept from hearing, like, your opinion of, hey, from somebody who has experienced the bad side of some of these situations.
Yeah.
This can be a hurtful book.
Yeah.
And, you know, learning to kind of back up, like, I can still love Jane Eyre, but I need to legitimize that this is a book which can also be
hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I think that that in the broader context have gone with the wind.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we can, I opened myself up to appreciating parts of Gone with the Wind
yeah.
that I never thought I would appreciate, but mm-hmm. also to recognize, okay, people who are upset at the book, that's legitimate too.
Totally,
and I think
yeah.
it deepened the complexity for me of that, yes, we should read the problematic books,
mm-hmm.
but we also must acknowledge that these can be books that, if we're not careful, can cause damage. We have to treat them carefully. It doesn't mean we stop reading them.
Right, and I think that's so important to recognize, that we have to recognize and honor that other people's experiences of these books, first of all, yes, will be different than ours. Like, we found just between the two of us several times, but also on a kind of more broader, in general, way, anybody is going to have an interpretation or a view of any book we pick in any year we pick a book, right? And what this year taught us, I feel like, at least it helped me, is to try, like you said, to take that step back from the personal love of a book or a character or whatever, and try and find the words, literally, find the words to discuss problematic content in an honest way that kind of treads that middle ground between my personal feelings and society's feelings and other people's feelings and potential feelings that I don't even know about. There are word choices that matter, right? And we had to navigate that because this was something that we did publicly this year for the first time, putting these behind the scenes discussions out there publicly. Suddenly the words coming out of our mouths became much, much more like important, right? At least I felt that. I felt like a responsibility to be really work over my notes over and over and over, finding hopefully the best way to say something, you know. And I'm not saying we always succeeded every single time, but I feel like the experience this year was so different than years past for us with this project.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what you said is so true. And we went from that kind of intellectual exercise theoretically of how relevant are old books, you know, and really challenged ourselves inadvertently to executing that. It was interesting. I feel like we should sort of pat ourselves on the back, but also say we have a lot more work to do, you know. That's kind of how I feel. I feel good that we tried to discuss some really hard issues. I mean, let's face it, we're two white women, right? And we're talking about things like, you know, Black Americans and slavery and things like that, you know. And I mean, you know, this is challenging to not sound horrible in some of the stuff that we said, but I feel like we're both genuine good white allies of Black Americans, and we believe in and support Black Lives Matter, and so I feel like we approached all of the problematic content on the racial issues in the books with the best spirit possible and hopefully some good word choices. And I want to personally thank you for allowing me to express so much of, you know, some of my personal history about, you know, domestic abuse and violence and things like that, because, you know, I didn't really realize, you know, until we were discussing how very differently those experiences made me see, for example, Jane Eyre and some of the other situations in the books than you saw them. And so, you know, giving me a space to be able to talk to you about that and hear me, I feel like helps us as an organization allow other people to express their own feelings and personal experiences in relation to the books that we pick each year. Does that make sense? Did I say that?
It does, and I commend you for being willing to be so vulnerable in that. I really think there's probably a reader out there who benefited from that vulnerability. And so
I hope
it also helped me grow as a person to hear that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope you're right about that as far as like reaching the public, because I will be honest and say that had this year not had COVID-19 involved, had we had a normal year where we were meeting every now and then, prepping for a workshop, and then we'd have a workshop, I don't know that I would have shared so much. I mean, I shared an awful lot even about, you know, my health, and when we talked about Beth and her dying and everything, I talked a lot about my health and stuff like that. And I don't know that I would have talked about that. I don't know if I would have talked about domestic violence experiences quite so much in a non-COVID-19 kind of situation where we decided to record our behind the scenes discussions. I feel like I remember different discussions we even said while we were recording, well, I may cut some of this out. I may not put all this in there. And then I ended up leaving pretty much all of it in because I thought this is important to give people the example of speak your truth, tell your story. It's valid. I want to hear other people's stories. You know, I don't want our project or our organization to be one where people cannot be their authentic selves. And I had to challenge myself and say, Alice, you need to be your authentic self and tell your true stories when they relate to something in the books we choose. And that was kind of like, whoosh, you know, who knew that was going to happen? Not me. But I do want to thank you sincerely for supporting me and helping me get through those episodes. And I feel like we did a good job this year. I feel like we did our project differently and to a good conclusion. In basically.
Yeah, and I think you're right back, because I feel like this has helped me grow in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the intellectual fun that mm-hmm. we had, but also I think in trying to be more empathetic.
Yeah, and I think in our world, that's going to be so important moving forward. And I feel like next year's project, the 7th annual, nice, 2021 project, whatever books we choose and whatever passages from those books we choose, I feel like we are going to be going into that with such a better, I don't want to say better, because I loved our past year's work as well. But there's something better about growth, in a way, you know, becoming better, I guess. As Joe Biden would say, build back better. You know, I feel like we're building our project better, you know, for the future. That this year we did some things differently, and that those changes give us more in the future to work with. You know, so I look forward to that. I can't wait to figure out what we're going to be doing next year.
Yeah, and shout out to listeners at home. If
yes.
you have recommendations
yes.
for what we should tackle for
yes.
our next year's NICE project, please let us know. Put it on our Facebook page as a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Please let us know. We'd love that.
You can also email us at info@cearts.org and just say, hey, here's a book we thought you might consider. We always want public input. And thank you to all our listeners and people who sent in submissions of new creative pieces inspired by our choices this year. It's always so fun to see what people come up with. You know, I don't know what else to say. I love you, and I thank you for doing this with me every year.
I thank you, Alice, and I love you back. And I look forward to more fun as we launch into our next night.
Oh yeah. It's just one project after another over here at CE Arts, you know, Community Education Arts. We're always here for you. Yeah. So much fun. Bye.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.